Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Today we're wrapping up our sermon series on our Good Shepherd mission statement today. And the mission of Good Shepherd is to know God and His Word, to grow as disciples of Jesus, to care for one another, and to reach our community for Christ. And we're going to be focusing in on that last part of our mission statement today about reaching and the call that Jesus has placed on each one of us that have experienced His love to show that love to other people and to reach those around us, not only just with His love, but with the gospel message that He has died on the cross for our sins. Well, as you think about that, I want you to imagine for a second that you have made it to Costco during this crazy season of the coronavirus, and you were able to make it into the store after waiting in line for a couple hours. You had battled to find a parking spot, and finally you make it into the doors of the store, and you get the cart, and the first item that you need, along with a few other essential items, is toilet paper. And so you make a beeline to the back of the store at the paper goods aisle, and there is the toilet paper aisle almost completely empty except for one lone bag of toilet paper that is partially torn into. The bag is ripped and some of the rolls are kind of smashed, but hey, it's toilet paper, and you're on your last roll, so you take that bag of toilet paper and you place it in your cart, and then you head off to the other parts of the store to find your other necessities, a couple gallons of milk and some eggs and some flour, and you're hoping that it's there. On your way up to the register, of course, you grab a few snacks as you're going past those aisles, and pretty soon your cart is completely full, and you make it up to the register. You wait in line again, and finally you're called up to the register, and the man rings you up, the cashier rings you up, and you asks for your payment, and so you give him your credit card, and in the back of your mind, you're just hoping that that this transaction goes through. You know that this last purchase might max out your credit card, and you're kind of worried whether or not it's going to go through, and you're very relieved when you see pop up on the screen, it says approved, and it's paid for, and you're gonna head out the store. And as you're going toward the door, there's another man there that stops you and says, "Sir, can I have a roll of your toilet paper?" And you're kind of caught off guard, and you're saying, "Sir, how is it that you're even asking me for a roll of toilet paper? I mean, we're supposed to be socially distant here. And besides, you don't know if I'm carrying the disease or not. And so if I've touched this toilet paper and you take it, how do you know that you're not going to get the disease? Aren't you a little bit concerned about that?" And this man says, "Well, I want to tell you that you shouldn't have to worry about toilet paper, because I know of some toilet paper that will never run out. Wouldn't that be nice?" And you're thinking, "Well, okay, tell me a little bit more about this never-ending roll of toilet paper." And the man then starts to explain that he's not really talking about toilet paper. And he says that, "I have something to offer you that is far better than never-ending roll of toilet paper, and far better than any earthly goods." And he starts to tell you about Jesus, and about the God who loves you so deeply and so intimately and wants you to be His child and wants you to forgive you of all your sins. And you tell this man, you're saying, "You know what? My life is just a complete mess. You have no idea. And I hear that place called heaven is just for good people. And I am honestly just not a good person. My life is a complete mess. And I have turned my back on God. And I don't even know this God that you're talking about, and I don't think that God could love me." Well, this man continues to tell the good news and to explain to you that that God loves you so deeply and so intimately, and there is nothing that could stop God's love, nothing that can separate you from God's love. No sin in the world that is too great for God to still love you. And as he continues to share, he shares from Romans and says, God demonstrates his own love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were still sinners. So if you're a sinner today, that's okay. God loves you and wants to have you as his own. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he continues to tell all about this. And in the process, you are amazed. Your mindset is just completely open, and your heart starts to be excited, and you're starting to discover this new life, and you want to hear more. And before you know it, you are walking out the door of Costco with this man, albeit 6 feet apart from him. And you're just leaning on every word that he says, because what he is offering you and what he is pointing to you is something far greater than anything on this earth. And isn't that just so comforting during a time like this, that when our world is kind of in chaos around us, a lot of uncertainties going into the future, there are people that are searching, people that are in deep need and have a longing for something greater than the things of this earth. And the good news is that just like that man in Costco, we have something so much greater to offer than earthly goods, than a never-ending roll of toilet paper. And the question I want you to consider is, what is it that would cause you to abandon your full cart at Costco, to leave that cart there that's completely paid for, and to go off and find something, to just completely forget about it? Well, there's a story in the Bible in John chapter 4 that is kind of, I kind of just went into a little bit of a modern day version of that story. And the story we're going to be looking at today in John chapter 4 is called the story of the woman at the well. And she had gotten up early in the morning to go and just get basic necessities, to get water. And as she's at this well, she encounters this man named Jesus. And she doesn't really know anything about him, but he starts to reveal himself and reveal who he is. And what we're going to see as we look at John chapter 4 today is that Jesus has something so great and so amazing to offer. And the beauty of that is that we can offer that same hope that he offers to this woman at the well. And so John chapter 4, I'm going to start reading at verse 3. It says, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would take these words today, these words that Jesus spoke to this woman, And we pray that you would implant them in us. God, use it to ignite in us a heart and a passion to reach those around us with the love of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at this story, the woman at the well, I want us to see three principles that God wants us to see in this. Three principles for reaching our community and neighbors with the love of Jesus. And the first principle is to intentionally go out of your way. Now, Jesus intentionally went out of his way to reach this woman, the woman of Samaria. If you know anything about Samaria and Samaritans, as the text mentioned, Jews and Samaritans really had no dealings with one another. And Jesus really was crossing over into outside of racial bounds. The Samaritans were actually despised by the Jews, and there were different routes to get to where Jesus was going. It said that he had left Judea and departed again for Galilee. There were several different ways that he could have gone, and most people did not want to pass right through Samaria. But Jesus had other plans, and he knew that he was going to have this encounter with this woman at the well and be able to offer her eternal life. And so he went through Samaria, and he went to this well and meets this woman there. And so first we see that Jesus went out of his way. And I believe we can see an example in that we can go out of our way. And we are called to intentionally go out of our way to reach those around us, even to reach our neighbors. And that looks probably a little bit different for us. It might not mean that you take a different route home, but maybe it just means that maybe out on your walks as you interact with your neighbors, maybe you're just intentional about taking different routes, or maybe you're intentional about going past one certain person's house every time you go for a walk, just to be able to continue building a relationship with someone. The other thing that we notice is that Jesus in this case talked to a woman, which was very significant, because out in public, men and women were not really to talk with one another. And even further than that, it was a Samaritan woman. And again, the Samaritans and Jews just did not have dealing with one another. But that did not stop Jesus. And I believe that God calls us to do the same, that we intentionally go out of our way to have interactions with those around us that maybe we otherwise wouldn't, or maybe if we are more set in our own comforts to just go the way that we normally do. But what I want to challenge you with today, especially in this season that we're facing right now, is the question that I want to ask is, how well do you know your neighbors? And have you been intentional about getting to know them? Have you been intentional about taking advantage of maybe talking to them about spiritual matters, or finding out about their spiritual background, or maybe about their spiritual beliefs? And there's a book that I read recently. It's called The Art of Neighboring, and it gives a very practical tip about getting to know and reaching out to our neighbors. And the first step is really just getting to know them, knowing who they are and letting them know who you are. And it talks about in this book about getting to know the neighbors within eyesight of your own house. And so generally speaking, there's usually 8 homes that are within eyesight of your house, the 2 on either side of you. And then there's 3 across the street. And then there's 3 behind you. And so that adds up to 8. And so what I encourage you to do is to, as you are at your home, think about the neighbors that are around you. Think about those ones that are within eyesight of your house. And I encourage you during this season to go out of your way, to be intentional about that, about getting to know them, about intentional then too about opening up different conversation with them, getting to a point where you can actually talk to them about spiritual things and find out where their hearts are at and if they are open to the things of the Lord. And what is it that we then are able to offer them? Well, the second principle is to offer what matters. And we see that's what Jesus did here. We see in this interaction that he had with the Samaritan woman is that her mindset was on the earthly matters. She was there to draw water, and that was her one thing that she was doing. And of course, Jesus talks about the water, and he talks about this living water. And of course, that sounds great to her, some kind of water that will never make you thirst again. And she says, hey, give me that water. I would love to have that water. But he's not talking about physical water. He's talking about something deep and lasting and refreshing for our souls. And he's ultimately talking about the hope of eternal life, hope of life to come that we can experience and know and have assurance that our sins are forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross, and that we can look forward to the day that we will be forever with our Heavenly Father in eternity in heaven with him. And so he calls us at the same time then to offer what matters to the people that are around us. We also have that same living water that we can offer. We have one of the phrases that we've used at Good Shepherd over the years that Pastor Jim had come up with years ago is grace for the broken. Jesus knows our deepest, darkest secrets, but yet he still loves each one of us. He knows the deepest, darkest secrets of every person in this world, and yet he loves every single person. And that was something that this woman actually came to realize, because as she longed for this living water that Jesus was talking about, Jesus then went on to say to her, verse 16, it says, Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He shared with her the best news that she could hear that day, that he was the Christ, he was the Messiah, he was the one that was coming to save the world of its sins. And that promise was for her that day. Even though Jesus had revealed her deepest, darkest secrets, the adultery that she was living in, and we don't know what all else she was facing, how other ways that she was broken and probably feeling very condemned in her heart, but Jesus cut through that with his great love. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And that was what this woman experienced that day, is not the condemnation. Yes, she was convicted in her heart, and Jesus brought that out in her. But he reached out to her and offered her something lasting, something that mattered. He offered her the promise and the hope of eternal life, that if she would believe in him as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the one who could save her from the life that she was living, and the one that could offer her eternal life, she accepted it. She came to believe and came to trust in him. And we are called to then offer what matters to the community that we're in, to our neighbors around us. We have something so wonderful and so great. Several years ago, my parents had somebody in their life. It was one of their landlords that owned some farmland that they owned. And this man had led a very destructive life for many years. He had suffered with alcoholism for many years, and he was waiting for many years for a liver transplant. And they had several opportunities to share with him as they got to know him. They were able to open up some doors to share with him a little more spiritually and share with him what God had done in their own life and proclaim to him the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. But his big hang up over and over again was, God could never love someone like me. You don't know all the things in my life that I have done. And my parents would reassure him over and over again. They had their pastor talk to him one time. And eventually, as this man was nearing death, in fact, it was on his deathbed, that he came to a living faith, a living hope and trust in Jesus, that God cut through to his heart and showed him and revealed to him that he would extend his grace even to the broken, even to those who feel like they could never be good enough, those who feel like they are so far from God and that God could never love them. He came to trust in Jesus Christ in those last moments of his life and experienced what matters, something far beyond anything he had ever experienced. Even the best things on this earth, nothing would compare to what he was about to experience as he entered into eternity. And so the second principle that we are called to is to offer what matters. And third and finally, as this relates to reaching out into our community and to those around us, we are called to speed the spread. In this time of the coronavirus, of course, everything we're doing, all the precautions we're taking are for the purpose of slowing the spread and hopefully to stop the spread of the coronavirus. And in many ways, it seems to be working. People are generally not going out as much and staying indoors, and the spread is definitely slowing. Well, if we did that with Christianity, I think the same thing would happen. If we just stayed in our homes, if we stopped going out into our community, it's not that the gospel would die, because the gospel is going to continue to go forth, and God is going to find a way for the gospel to go forth. But if we, as Christians, with Christ living inside of us, just stayed in our own homes and stayed cooped up, and if we didn't interact with our neighbors, that gospel would not go forth in the way that God wants it to go forth. And what we see here in this encounter this woman had with Jesus, she went away into the town and she said to the people, this is what she said to them. She said, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did." All the sins that she had committed, all that she ever did. She said, "Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town, it says, and they were coming to him. She spread the word. She couldn't help but, and it says that she left her water jar, the thing that she had come to the well that day for. She abandoned her water jar and she ran off because she had found something so much greater. She found a great hope, and she went to go tell other people and to speed the spread that she had met the Christ. And as the disciples then come back to Jesus, they had gone off to find food. As they come back to Jesus, Jesus tells them and explains to them what his work really is to do. And he talks about and encourages them to lift up their eyes and see the fields that are white for harvest. In fact, in verse 35, he says, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." He says, "Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into that labor." So he's explaining to his disciples that they have this job to do, that the harvest is plentiful. We know that from another place in Scripture, which we heard earlier. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and he calls then his disciples, and we are included in as his disciples, to go out into his harvest field. He says, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send workers into his harvest field. And I believe that right now, in the season that we're in, the fields are ripe for harvest. As you go out and interact with your neighbors, and as you get to know them, and as you take steps toward a spiritual conversation and introducing people to Jesus Christ, finding out about their own life and about their own fears, I think what you're going to find is that people are without hope. In fact, I've talked to several people this past week that as they've interacted with people, they just sense a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety about the future. They don't know what's ahead, and everything that they've placed trust in up to this point is thrown out the window, and they don't know where to turn. Well, we can point them to Jesus Christ, in whom they can turn to. And that's what this woman did as she discovered this hope and trust in Jesus Christ. Then as she left and as she went and spread the word, what was the result of that? It says that many Samaritans believed in him, believed in Jesus. It says because of the woman's testimony. There is great power, and God wants to use our testimony. God wants to use each one of us to spread his message of salvation, his message of grace, and his message of hope to a lost world. And I want to ask you today, are you ready to share? The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to the hope that is within you." Do you have your testimony ready? Do you have your story ready? If someone asked you, what is your hope in these days? Would you have an answer for them? I don't know if you're ready to give that answer, but if you are trusting in Jesus Christ today, you do have an answer. And you can point to Jesus Christ. You can share your own personal experience of the ways that you have encountered Jesus. And you can share about the confident assurance of salvation that you have to look forward to no matter what happens in this world. And then what we see as we can continue to look at the end of this passage of the woman at the well, that many more came to believe because of Jesus. And it says, and the people said, it's no longer about the woman. They said, it's no longer because of what you said. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And so now what we see is that it wasn't just because of the woman's testimony that they came to believe, but they experienced it for themselves. And each one of us who have experienced the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the assurance of salvation and the life to come, people can also come to experience that very same thing. And God wants to use each one of us to share that message so that others would come to experience that message and that hope firsthand. And maybe you're watching today and maybe you have never come to know Jesus. Maybe you have not had that encounter with Jesus. whether it was kind of like that man in Costco, or whether it's the woman at the well, and you're realizing that everything that you've placed your hope and trust in up to this point is so uncertain. You are standing on shaky ground, and you want to know this Jesus whom we can trust fully and in whom we can have eternal life. The Bible is very simple and clear. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And it also says in Romans that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And so you can do that right here in this very moment. You can cry out to Jesus, and you can say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And for the rest of us that have experienced that previously, God calls each one of us to speed the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, just as that woman did, that Samaritan woman went and shared that message to the community around her. And many, it says, came to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would equip each one of us today to share your love to those around us, to share the hope that we have to those in our community, to those in our neighborhood. And I pray that you would equip each believer that is watching today to reach their neighbors, to get to know their neighbors. I pray, God, that you would open doors, that people would be surprised, maybe in the encounters that they have, open doors for them to share your gospel message. I pray that neighbors would ask questions of us. I pray that they would ask about that hope. How do you have hope? What is the hope? How do you give an answer for the hope that is within you? I pray that you would equip each one of us today and help us as we speed the spread of the gospel today. In Jesus' name, amen.